Bill Martinez.
Hey, and I'm with you right now, 13 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. And back with us is Mary Claire Kendall, author of Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. Mary Claire, welcome back to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us. How you doing?
Oh, good, good. Hi, Bill.
Hey, we need to pick up where we left off. We were able to relate some of the stories from your book, Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends, that shows even those who seem to have it all and need the hope, strength, and fortitude, you know, provided by faith. And the stories that you were able to document are they're very encouraging and inspiring all at the same time, especially when you think about, you know, these are these stars that haven't made, and we hear so much that is antithetical to faith and Christianity, from the Hollywood narrative.
Yeah, you'd expect that they're drinking, imbibing all that, how could faith grow? It's like a rose growing in a trash heap.
Yeah, but when you get down to where the rubber meets the road and all else fails, and this is what happens. I mean, it's like the continuous story of the prodigal son, maybe, in some cases, where, you know, these stars grew up and they had a background of faith and families that were, you know, very spiritual, and they had some training, and they went back to their roots. And in other cases as well, this was just, you know, part of their journey and a discovery process for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of Bob Hope didn't. I mean, his mother was, you know, was very devout, but he wasn't so religious. But it was part of a journey. You're right.
Well, let's unwrap Bob Hope a little bit, because that was one of the names that we didn't get to last time.
Oh,
and,
good.
So let's talk about Bob Hope, because, you know, so much about the man, you know, what his persona was, that he just seemed like it was such a genuine guy. He was so giving, all that he gave to the troops but let's get into his character a little bit.
Yeah. Well, he was a bit of a chip off the old block. His dad had difficulty because he was a stonemason, and they switched to bricks, and so he started drinking and womanizing, and so that example was not the greatest. And he was actually he was abusive to his sons, including Bob. Well, Lester was his, he grew up as Lester. So, you know, a lot of these stars, like Bob Hope, I mean, they had difficult childhoods, growing up, so they weren't, you know, that often goes with the territory of acting.
Exactly.
And out of that difficulty comes great talent. That character, but I mean, he was very generous to, for instance, people close to him, his agent when he had cancer, but he could also be a bit tough with his writers. You know, he was very penny-pitching, come from that childhood experience where they really had to scrimp and save. But he was very moved by the dedication of the troops when he started entertaining back in 1941 with the USO, and saw that, you know, Cardinal Spellman got a bigger applause. Spellman they were making friends with him and working with him, trying to, you know, open his eyes up to spiritual things. Mm-hmm. And the dedication of the troops also very much moved him, because he said, you know, he's just doing this for laughs. I mean, their lives are on the line.
Exactly. Yeah, and you come back to that old saying, you know, how many atheists do you find in a foxhole?
Yeah.
You know, when it's life and death like that, and he was there, and, you know, witnessing, even though he wasn't necessarily on the front line, although he did have a couple of, near altercations.
Well, I'll tell you, too, my friend Harry Flynn, who was Bob Hope's publicist, so he tells a story that actually wasn't quite reflected right in the Zoglin book about how they went in after the Beirut massacre, and in the Christmas of 83, Bob Hope wanted to go and entertain, go on shore. Mm-hmm. And so they went in with the SEALs, and there they are going in chinking, which is like going back so they wouldn't be you know, shot down. Mm-hmm. And the SEALs at one point said, you know, is he scared? And Bob Hope said, of what? I mean, that reflects his character. He was just determined to go on shore and entertain the mm-hmm. troops after that horrible Beirut bombing.
Yeah, exactly. And for Bob Hope, I mean, it seemed like this was a little bit of a journey, not necessarily, you know, kind of a flip the switch moment for him to convert.
Right. The flip the switch moment, I pinpoint because the dedication of the Reagan Library in 91 when he would have been, oh gosh, I don't know, his late 80s. So, you know, he didn't get a seat on the limousine. He couldn't believe it. He said, I'm Bob. He was relegated to making small talk on the tram with Lou Wasserman and Michael Eisner. And that I think, because a few years later he did join Dolores and her faith, the Catholic, he joined the Catholic faith. So I think that because, you know, he was like God, and then all of a sudden he was, you know, coming down to earth and confronting his mortality. And
right. And the way Hollywood works is, what have you done for me lately?
Oh.
And if your star is not brilliantly shining at that moment, you know, you can slip from that coveted A-list very quickly.
Oh, right. And he was the biggest.
Yes.
Not in just entertainment, but everything. Real mm-hmm. estate, you know, business, I don't know, sports. He owned the Cleveland Indians, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes. He was huge.
Yeah.
And that
now,
charity work,
you mentioned Dolores. You know, it seems, again, their relationship. I mean, that he adored her, it seemed.
Yeah. No, they had a very interesting relationship because mm-hmm. She was a good Christian woman because it was hard for her to see, you know, the womanizing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she stuck by her man. She knew she was the most beautiful, and by jingo, she was his wife. And mm-hmm. so there, you know, there were, as every marriage has, it was, you know, there were some tough patches. But she was a very Christian woman. Mm-hmm. Father Benedict Grishel said she did exactly what she was supposed to do, and just prayed him into the church.
And anchor was his anchor, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
She served as his anchor throughout all this because,
yep.
and that's what happens oftentimes when there is that situation where, you know, where somebody has that faith is that, you know, you can't help but be around them and watch what they go through. And especially, I'm sure Bob Hope had to reconcile, you know, his sins and say, gosh, here's the way I treated this woman, and she's still hanging in there.
Right. Right. There was an interesting, Larry King asked him later in his career, said, you know, Bob, you've been surrounded by all these beautiful women, and how does that work? And he said, yeah, but I always, and this was like one, because he was very scripted, and
yeah.
the writer commented in one unscripted moment, he said, yeah, but I always come back home to Dolores. See, that's the thing. I mean, it's silly. It's all silliness.
Yeah, exactly.
Your wife was made for you.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, Alfred Hitchcock. Okay, so he, this book, so it's a Catholic publisher, so all the journeys are toward, you know, the healing, the faith, the conversion to Catholicism. He was a cradle Catholic, and I had actually, you know, didn't realize that initially, but they
right.
insisted on keeping him in, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. So he had a stable upbringing, good Catholic family, you know, all the aunts around, really. But then they doted on him, and he became this, you know, the only thing he could do in life was make films. And so he kind of drifted away from the faith of his childhood. And he was very devout, and his mother made sure he was. But then towards the end of his life, as he confronted his mortality, you know, and he said, famously said to Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid, I'm going to die. And she said, yes, of course, we're all going to die. I think she was sick at that point as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was got in touch with his priest, Father Sullivan, who was the priest on the Paradine case. He was like priest of the stars.
All right.
And Father Mark Henninger, the brother of Dan Henninger, was there, came along at the end. It was just beautiful, so poignant to see, you know, tears rolling down his cheeks as he's receiving the sacraments, receiving Holy Communion. Beautiful.
Mm. Wow. Lana Turner.
Lana Turner. You know, Lana Turner, as a child, she decided she wanted to become a Catholic. Mm-hmm. And then she was just so gorgeous. And then she, you know, went to Hollywood and met the publisher of the Hollywood Reporter. And he said, you know, would you like to be in the film? She goes, oh, I'll have to ask my mother. Well, of course, then, you know, she became the big star, drank all the Kool-Aid and had, you know, all the men, 8 husbands, and then came full circle and realized she wasn't an alcoholic, but she needed something. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was really in not great shape. I mean, she wasn't like Betty Hutton, but she really, and God became her power partner. She came back to the strong sense of faith. One of her husbands actually had converted to Catholicism, the father of her child, Cheryl. And she said, I wasn't as good of a Catholic as he was, but you can see that great faith and devotion. God was her power partner. And she...
Wow. Yeah. Well, these are such great stories, and it's a great inspiration. And as you say, many of them, I mean, if not all of them, just come to that point of dealing with their mortality. And we all have to, at one point or another, reconcile that we're not leaving here alive. Oasis, the conversion stories of Hollywood legends. Thank you so much. Mary Claire Kendall has been back with us on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you for sharing a part of your day with us. That is a wrap for us. We'll see you mañana right here on the SDG Radio Network.